One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your open mind.
Once again to Rumor Mill News Radio. You are listening to One Step Into the Light, and my guest today is Janet Swerdlow. Janet Swerdlow has many years of metaphysical background. She shares her path that teaches direct access to oversoul and God mind. Janet was born consciously aware of her oversoul and God mind connection. Her family has been specifically targeted for many generations due to the unique blend of American Indian and Celtic genetics, as well as her Magdalen lineage, which extends back through her Waldensian descendancy from southern France. Janet, welcome to Rumor Mill News Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And our listeners who listened last week know that your husband, Stuart, was on last week. What an incredible family you two have. I'd like to start off with this genetic history that you've got. And I think that most of us know that the Cherokee and the Celts, There are bloodline medicine men, medicine women, priestess, priestesses, and this does come down through a bloodline. And many of our listeners who've been listening to Rumor Mill News Radio know that we've discussed these various things, but we have never discussed the Magdalen lineage or the Waldensian descendancy. What is this, and how are you descended from those?
Well, it's kind of interesting because the Waldensians were called in history as the mother of the Reformation, but many people have never heard of the Waldensians. And even when I was growing up and very little, my grandfather used to talk about it, and I wish now, of course, that I had listened a little bit more intently to the things that he had to say. But the Waldensians were actually they are the lineage of what the Christ figure, or Emmanuel, and Mary Magdalene. They existed as part of the lineage from their children. And the Waldensians, which if you look it up online, they will give you many different sources as far as how they originate. But at one time, the Catholic Church itself said that the Waldensians were the most dangerous people on earth, and if they could wipe out every single one, that would be their wish. And so what happened, just to make a very long historical story, very short and hopefully of interest to your listeners, is that they fought against the Catholic Church quite valiantly for many, many years. And eventually there were a few hundred of them that were holed up in the Piedmont area of Italy from southern France, and they fought so valiantly against the French soldiers that they were eventually given safe passage to Switzerland in the middle of the winter. And what they did with the Waldensian children is they took all those from the age of 12 and under, and they placed them throughout Europe in Roman Catholic families, and this was their way of destroying the Waldensian religion. So they took all the children away, and then they allowed the parents on foot in the middle of the winter to cross to Switzerland, and so of course many of them died. My family, my great-grandparents, happened to survive this process and eventually made their way to the United States, where there were three Waldensian communities. One was in North Carolina, one was in New York, and where my family settled was in Monette, Missouri. That was the third Waldensian community. And because they were so far from Europe, they were told that they should adopt a church over here rather than be supported by the Waldensians in Europe. And so all of them, including eventually the ones in Europe, eventually merged with the Protestant religion, which they felt was less the lesser of the evils than the Catholic religion, which were basically the two choices. And the one in Monett, Missouri is now merged with a Presbyterian. So it's the Waldensian Presbyterian Church. But in Monett, Missouri, if you go down into the basement of their church, there is a little museum to the Waldensian people themselves. The Waldensian people were said not only to be the mother of the Reformation, they were also credited with inventing the tarot cards and the playing cards, which was a way of hiding their religion via symbol, because they taught the pure religion, color, tone, and archetype, which is what Stuart and I teach together. And so it is in my lineage, it is in the Magdalene frequency within me to understand the blend of color, tone, and archetype. And that is the original religion that the Illuminati actually follow, except they use it for negative. The Waldensians used it for positive.
You know, it's so amazing because people don't understand that the energy is all the same. It's the intent of the person using the energy, whether it's positive or negative.
Right, absolutely. And that's a lot of the thing that we are doing our best to show people, is that the Illuminati is actually using the rules that they need to be using. If they have a recipe, they're following it, but they're using it, what their result is, for negative. If I give you a recipe for a chocolate cake, it doesn't matter what you're going to do with that chocolate cake. If you follow that recipe, you're going to get a chocolate cake. And it doesn't matter if you're a positive person or a negative person. And so that's what all of these, the universal law is. Illuminati really works under universal law. They really don't force anybody to do anything. They merely set up these recipes, and people create their own recipe and they create their own path. And that's why everything continues to be perpetuated, because they're not going against universal law. There's an old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, the Illuminati's kind of leading the horse to water, and then the people are of their own free will and volition choosing to drink.
You know, you're absolutely right. I try to remind people that every time you turn on a television program, you're giving the Illuminati permission to program you. And, you know, it's the same with a radio program. That's why I call this a radio show rather than a radio program, because I sincerely hope we're not programming people. This Waldensian, now you call it, how do you pronounce it?
Waldensian.
Waldensian. Okay. This Waldensian background, what's their connection to the Cathars or to the Knights Templars?
They existed at the same time, but they were separate. It's just now you would say, what's the difference between a Presbyterian and a Methodist and, I can't think of the other, Protestant ones, a Baptist. They're all different strains, kind of along the same way, but the Waldensians were the actual descendants of Mary Magdalene and Jesus. And also, when you talk about the Essenes and those kind of, my mind is going here. I want to say species, the groups of people that existed,
right.
They all kind of funneled their way down through that and became what was known as the Waldensians. The Waldensians actually were from a specific region in France, Vaudois. And so when you take a lot of the different pronunciations and the way that they have changed through the time, in English now it's down to the Waldensians.
Okay, we were just discussing this group, but the man that was on the radio show discussing it with me used a different name. But he also said that this group was the most dangerous group, and the Catholic Church put hit orders out, you know, to take them all out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually fled to various places, and one of the places was Tibet. Do you have that in your, in the Waldensian legacy also?
No, they as far as I know, that they just fled into Italy, and they would go back and forth across the border and fight. And the rulers of France at the time, they sent legions and legions and thousands of thousands of soldiers up into the hills to fight off the Waldensians, but the Waldensians would not go away. And several times they would make false truces, and the Waldensians thought that everything was fine. And then they would be attacked again and again and again and again. And they were continually beat down because they did not want this knowledge out there. They did not. They had their own mind control already going. They didn't want people to know that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene. They didn't want to know that there were descendants out there because they were concerned that people would follow them instead of the Catholic Church.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The Waldensians believed in did not believe in a church building. They believed that the people held the power. They also, women were allowed, quote-unquote, allowed to be preachers versus just the males. So they had all these tenets within the Waldensians that went against the Catholic Church that the Catholics needed to stop. And so they needed to be in control of that, and so they continued to wipe out the people, just as they have done with every religion and group of people, races of people, if you want to look at the American Indians, of which I have descendants on, all of these that they considered a threat, they tried to wipe out, except for those, just enough so that they can hold them down and try and use them to get into places where they themselves cannot venture.
Yeah, that is just amazing. we all know the history of the Catholic Church, and it's really amazing how in this day of enlightenment they are still surviving. And when I say in this day of enlightenment, when we know what the bloody history has been, and yet there's a part of me that actually thinks this Pope, I'm having good thoughts toward this Pope, that he actually may, embrace some of the wrongs that they have done. Now, whether or not he will ever actually admit that the only reason the Catholic Church refused to have married priests and women was so that the money would stay in the church rather than, going to the descendants of the priest and his wife, that sort of thing. I don't know whether they will ever do that or...
I always look at the popes and the world leaders. To me, they're figureheads for the powers behind. The people who really have the power, they don't want you to know who they are. They don't want to be seen. That would take away their ability to control and manipulate the people.
Yes.
So,
and that is so true.
Yes, to me, they would never admit such a thing. Like the public figure would never admit such a thing unless the powers behind that had a specific agenda.
And one of the reasons I get so upset when people blame Clinton or blame Bush, and now they're going to be blaming Obama, and then I say, no, they're just figureheads. You've got to blame the people behind them. And so then they blame the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. Well, those people are just figureheads, too, just like the Queen of England is just a figurehead. We don't know.
Right, absolutely. You can trace it back further and further. But ultimately, people have to take responsibility themselves because it's like everything else. If there weren't any victims, there wouldn't be any oppressors. The oppressors would go away. So really, all we need to point the finger at is ourselves because we are the ones that are accepting the victim role, and therefore we create an oppressor role so that we can be victims.
Absolutely, and we're just getting into that discussion on Rumor Mill News. I've recently discovered, at least in my mind, I've discovered the fact that the United States has never been free of being a colony to someone, and I think the someone is, the international bankers, these unseen people. But then we've got a woman on Rumor Mill who posts and says exactly what you're saying, that it's up to us. We create our own victimhood. If we want to stay victims, if we want to stay slaves to the New World Order, we can. Or we can absolutely change our belief system, and through changing our belief system, what we're going to do is we're going to take ourselves out of the victimhood, and whatever it is that goes on around us will be just that. It's going on around us. It's not touching us.
And I always tell people they have a choice whether they want to participate in it or not. And
that's right.
That's really part of that. Are you going to participate in being a victim? Are you going to participate in being oppressed? One of my famous examples I like to give is the gas. If the gas goes to $4.59 a gallon, are you going to run out and buy a smaller car? Or are you going to say, well, God, mind is limitless, therefore I'm limitless. If the price of gas goes to $10 a gallon, my mind was going to open up and bring those funds in. you know, I am a microcosm of the macrocosm. I am going to allow myself to bring in whatever it is I need to fulfill my function in this reality as it is.
That's absolutely right. And this is probably the most important thing that anyone who is listening to this interview today can get out of this, that every human being on Earth has the ability to create their own reality. And you don't just believe it, you know it. And, of course, Janet, you and Stuart give all sorts of workshops teaching people how to do this. So how do you teach people how to do it?
Well, the first thing is I think people don't realize what their own frequency is, what it sounds like, what it consists of, because throughout their life they haven't had appropriate boundaries and they have accepted the societal boundaries, they have accepted what their parents have given them. So there really are no clear, what I would call, frequency or energy streams. And so what I teach people to do is to start pulling out what they're not. First of all, you have to get back into your childhood. You have to pull out what you're not from your parents. You have to pull out what you're not from your friends and your teachers. And you continue pulling out, pulling out, pulling out all those things that you're not until you clear up your own personal energy stream so you begin to understand what you are and what you're actually capable of. Most
now,
people have not a clue who
they are. Is a person really able to do something like that by themselves?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, Stuart and I put a lot of tools out there for people, and we have people that call us and they say, oh, can you heal us? Will you do this for us? Will you do that for us? And we say, yeah, maybe we can, but we're not going to, because if we do it, we learn, you don't learn anything. So we're going to give you the tools, and we're going to, yes, you may struggle a little bit, you may have a little bit of pain involved, as that has happens when people grow, but I'm not going to feel sorry for you. I'm going to have compassion for your journey, but I am not going to feel sorry for you, because in that pain, you're going to find who you are. You're going to be pushed beyond your everyday limits. You're going to be pushed deep inside. You're going to be forced to connect with your oversoul and God mind. You're going to find those tools for yourself, and then you're going to be able to say, I know by knowing. I know because I experienced it. This is what I did. And you're going to remember your lessons, and you're going to grow, and you're going to be strong. And that's what I believe we're all here to do. Not to be leader, not to be followers, but to go inside of ourselves and each one of us be a leader. Each one of us remember that that connection. Everybody's already connected. It's like people who do soul retrieval. You can't go out and retrieve something that's not lost. You know, you
That's right.
are already whole and complete, but the illusion has made you think you're not. So we're going to take you out of that illusion. We're going to put you exactly where you're supposed to be. We're going to help you remember who you are, where you came from, why you're here. And you're going to do it, and you're going to be proud of your accomplishments. You're going to feel good about what you did. And you're going to make a difference just by being. No other reason, just because you exist.
That's extraordinary. You know, about 20 years ago, I was doing work that is almost identical to what you and Stuart are doing. And that was why when I first met Stuart, you know, everything that we were discussing, you know, including all the way back to Sirius, was just so similar. It was like, you know, we were, we were being taught by the same oversoul.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see with everything that you have just told us right now, it just fits so perfectly with what I was teaching 20 years ago. It is amazing, 20
yes.
years ago.
And I think what is interesting about all of this is once people connect with the work that Stuart and I are doing, a lot of times they'll go, well, you know, it just sounds like I always knew this. And I said, you have. You have always known it. And my, as you just said, a lot of times people are doing it, but maybe they haven't labeled it. Once you have labels, then you can continue to repeat. You're like a scientist. You're going out and you're exploring these universal laws or these theories, whatever is in your head. And if you can know what you're doing, if you can have a label for that, then you can repeat it. It's not just accidental anymore that you stumble upon it. You now can formulate your recipes. And as we all come together with this knowledge, and you might have a piece, and I have a piece, and Stuart has a piece, and the people who come to us have pieces, we put all that together and we begin to see the picture. Because within the God mind, it can't put its entire energy into one human body. The human body would blow up. So that's why if we think of the God mind as a mind expressing through each one of us in a little bit different way, and we all bring all that knowledge and information together, it's incredible what we as a group have access to, the power. We're not taking from anybody. We are boosting each other up. We are coming together to form, in our own way, a conscious group mind full of power. And this is why the Illuminati is frightened. This is why they do their programming before people are born. Before you know who you are, they know who you are. So they can use your power before you have access to your power. Now
you're
people are saying...
absolutely right.
Yes, now they're saying, hey, I already have my information. I have my answers. I am hooked up. I am limitless. I have amazing, incredible power available to me. The Illuminati already knows that, except, as I said in the beginning, they use theirs for one purpose. We're using ours for another purpose. It all emanates from the mind of God. The mind of God contains all things. It's how you use that. God mind allows everything to happen. It's how you use that, how you react to it.
So in other words, you're saying, if I could use maybe a different image, a tapestry. God is creating a tapestry, and every single soul is a thread of God's tapestry. And so if you don't walk your own path, if you somehow get snared by, you know, some guru from whatever religion and decide that his path is the only way to God, and you walk his path, what that tapestry ends up with is a great big huge block of threads all tangled together, and then empty spaces where your individual path was supposed to be.
I think that's a very lovely way of phrasing that, in a way that people can identify with and understand. Absolutely.
And so every single human is put here to walk the path from God to God.
Or actually, to be a little bit more accurate, is it exists already. You're not going from to or to and from. You just are. And that's where we get into a little bit more esoteric when we start talking about the eternal now, how everything exists all at one time. So, you know, we can continue that, you know, that frame of thought. But basically, it is all about God mind exploring itself. What is it? How high am I? How deep am I? And as the God mind, if we think about your original point of origin out of the God mind, you know, that's where I start talking about God mind, oversoul, and self. And, you know, you can extrapolate that into the Oversoul Matrix. You know, you can go in deeper and deeper and deeper, regardless of how you want to make your journey. It's up to you how deep you want to explore and what you want to know and where you want to put your focus.
You know, I wanted to bring up one thing that you said, and that is that the Illuminati know who you are going to be before you are born. Mm-hmm. Do you want to elaborate on that one?
Well, because... you know, we look at everything so much so linear here in this reality, and we're taught linear logic. You know, we're taught if we do one thing, the next thing happens. People go to school and they learn that. They take tests to get into college very linearly. But the mind of God is very multidimensional, and it doesn't function in a linear way. So then that's why people say, oh, this happened out of the blue, or all of a sudden I wasn't expecting it and that happened. That's when we start getting into things that are beyond linear. It is becomes coming at us from very many different directions. And so when we take a look at that process itself, then we can begin to understand the totality of who we are. I mean, it's just not our eyes that see. Every cell in our body sees. Every cell within our energetic field sees. So it's not just, you know, A follows B follows C follows D and so forth. It becomes a much broader picture and a bit more of a challenge for us to wrap our minds around. So yes, what happens then is the Illuminati, because they plan for decades, for centuries, for millennia, whereas we plan from day to day, they watch the energy or the frequency go from body to body to body, and they can follow you. They know who you are. They know where you came from. They know your lineage. And if they see you going into a body, they know how to work that energy or the body itself or the parents or the mind or whatever to twist it enough so that, yes, you come into this reality, but you don't know who you are like they know it. And they close down all the circuitry so you don't find that out, which is what we call programming.
That is exactly right. And Janet, you can hear the music, so we've got to take a break at the bottom of the hour. We'll eventually open this up for telephone calls. You are listening to RumorMillNewsRadio.com. This is Raylan Allen, and we're speaking with Janet Swerdlow from Expansions.com, and we will be right back.
One step in to the light, one step away from that. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your open mind.
This is Raylan Allen, and we're talking with Janet Swerdlow. If you're on your computer, you can pull up expansions.com. And Janet, one of the things that you mentioned in the last half hour is you were talking about the streams, and the Illuminati follow the streams of who you are, you know, from one to another. You're talking about reincarnation there, aren't you?
Well, a lot of people call it reincarnation. I guess I talk about simultaneous existences. And remember, again, we also talked about linear versus nonlinear. So I'm going more into the nonlinear aspect of these energy streams that they follow. And you, of course, can follow your own threads, too. I want to be sure and put that out for people so they know. And we have DVDs on all these things we're talking about. So if you're on the site, you can always check out our products as well. But the energy streams itself, you have a specific frequency when you come out of your oversoul, and you have certain experiences that energy stream is going to have or is having now. And so, yes, they follow that energy stream, and then they decide, okay, if they're lacking in a certain part of knowledge, they can follow a certain energy stream through its life cycle, whatever that might be, and then utilize that to its advantage.
So, in other words, the Illuminati has the ability to follow any person's stream, life stream, and literally take the knowledge that that person has created.
With that person's permission on some level. So I always want to put that out there because I want people to realize that they're not the victim that they might want to have built up in their mind that they are. But yes, the Illuminati can follow that energy stream, and then it's up to the energy stream itself whether or not they can share that information or not share that information.
Who do you think the Illuminati really are?
Well, we've written about this extensively, really. And it goes beyond this reality into other realities, because while we're down here trying to figure out, you know, how to pay our bills tomorrow and make sure we don't lose our house and, you know, what we're going to do on this short term, they're really into this long-term planning. So they really stretch much further than what people talk about. In Blue Blood, True Blood, Stuart writes about exactly who they are. He names names as far as the families themselves. And he also goes into, of course, what we would call the alien, or sometimes, depending upon, /ET connection. So it really goes on beyond what most people think about. So that's really a whole big topic.
You know, it's really amazing because most people truly, you know, they think New World Order and that's President Bush, or they think New World Order, that's President Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And unless a person can stretch their mind to the point that they can realize, oh my gosh, these Illuminati New World Order people, you know, they didn't even originate here on Earth. They are from somewhere else.
Right.
And so unless you can stretch your mind until you can bring in the alien connection, and that reminds me, a couple of weeks ago we were talking with a philosopher who was teaching us all the forbidden sciences. And, of course, you know, astrology, reincarnation, UFOs, aliens, those are the forbidden sciences, some of them. We got into others besides that. But what I tried to get the reader to stretch their mind to realize is who forbids this and who gains because this is forbidden. And in the Middle Ages, they burned you at the stake if you happened to believe in this. Now they just completely ridicule you to the point of making you look like a stupid idiot. And, you know, in some cases, they ridicule so much that people commit suicide.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And, but again, it's the forbidden sciences, and who profits or who wins when this knowledge is forbidden? And, of course, who wins is the Illuminati.
Well, that's really the true power. I mean, a lot of times people think that, money is power, but money isn't really the power. Knowledge is power. And
right.
So I think that's one of the distractions. I mean, if you go on and like, for instance, on AOL.com, they're always saying, you know, these are great jobs to have. You know, you make, you know, $100,000 a year. Well, you know, for the people that have the money, $100,000 is a spit in the bucket. For
that's
most
right.
of us, $100,000 is a lot of money. But for those who have the access to that, and therefore they're always distracting us into other areas, you know, go for the money, go for this, go for that. And people forget that the real power is in knowledge. And that's what the Illuminati has kept to themselves, is the knowledge. And then they put other things out there. They make people think they're learning. For instance, what I just talked about, you know, if you want to get into a good college, you want to take those SATs, you've got to be good in logic. So they teach linear logic. So that's a distraction. And they really have done such a good job of sewing up all of the different genres of study that people think that they're being educated, or they think that they're unraveling new knowledge, but they're not really very deep. They're really staying on one level. And so what this information does, color, tone, and archetype work, is it takes you inside and gets you deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So that's how you begin to understand what's truth and what's the illusion that's been painted out there for you. And that, as you're talking about, it takes a lot to wrap your mind around that. I mean, if you're raised thinking Christopher Columbus discovered America, and that happens since you're a little kid and you celebrate this day, then you get 18 or 22 or you're, you know, in college, beyond college, and you begin to realize the true history of the Earth, it's really hard for people to swallow. And especially after, if you've had so many years of being indoctrinated, and that's just one tiny, tiny stream of thought. So whatever you look out there, most of it is exactly the opposite. That's what I have found out myself in my years of study. If I see one thing being really perpetuated out there, I want to go to the opposite side of the coin and look. I want to see what they're trying to hide. Why are they distracting me in this direction when I need to be looking that direction?
And that's exactly right.
That's a process.
I tell all my readers that if the New World Order is pointing you in one direction, run as fast as you can in the other direction.
Yep, there's got to be a reason. I mean, I can cite a billion different examples of that, but once people start waking up and they get hit on the head a little bit, and that's why I say sometimes, you know, people want to say negative is bad. Well, negative isn't always bad. Negative is just another part of the equation. You know, God mind, again, contains all things, both positive and negative. So we want to look at the negative, and that's one thing that the Illuminati in its own way, it's removed that piece. You don't want to see certain aspects about yourself. You know, the New Age peace, love, and light. If you're looking at peace, love, and light, and that's all you see, I tell people, you've got to look further, because everybody's a combination of positive and negative. You have to look at your own negative, and you have to be okay with that, because that's part of your journey. That's part of the richness of the tapestry that you were talking about. We can't ignore that part of the God mind. We can't ignore that part of ourselves. Let's take a look. Let's see what's useful in the negative. You know, if somebody's going to attack me, I might want to stand up and yell and scream at them and make them be really frightened. So I don't want to get rid of that. I might want it in balance where it's not taking over me. I don't want to beat my children, because then it's in control of me. But maybe sometimes I need to kind of put on an angry face and have them be just enough frightened of me that, hey, that's, you know, mom really means what she's saying. I've got to listen here. And that can be, anger can be useful in many facets of life. So
yeah,
all
absolutely.
Of it is important.
Well, we're talking about the group mind, or maybe the oversoul, as some people call it. Now, when you bring a family unit down, is this family unit maybe just different aspects of this group mind, or how do you describe that?
Okay, when you speak of family unit, are you talking about, say, a person's lineage?
Yes, I'm talking about mother, father, children, brothers, sisters.
Okay, well, if you talk about genetic lineage, that can't be different than an oversoul lineage. It may or may not be, depending upon. But as far as family lines, what I find is that people choose to have to stay in that family line over and over and over again. So, for instance, and usually they might skip a generation or two, but it's not unusual, say, for my mother to come in as my child's child.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to realize that the genetics, the physical body that we use down here, that's a type of clothing. So if you're used to that type of clothing and you know what that type of clothing is, most people really don't skip around as much as people would have you believe. And that's why even in the Illuminati families, you know, like when they crown the kings and queens of England, they have like 16 billion names.
That's correct. Why?
Because they're tracing who they were in their, you know, other lifelines, so to speak, right down to the lineage. So the genealogy is important that way, and the Mormon Church, of course, goes into their genealogy and records. And we have lost a lot of that as far as us, but the Illuminati hasn't lost that as far as what happens to us. That's why they track these things. And so when you go back inside yourself, and we have in the book Hyperspace Helper, we have exercises on how you can go into your DNA and you can find out, open that up and see what's locked inside of it and what your talents are and where you came from this lineage all the way back onto alien civilizations, up into your oversoul, up into God mind, how you can trace all of that. And how you get kind of used to one lineage, you get used to this one set of clothing, and so people come back and they go through the same ones over and over and over again.
And is it because they love these people and they want to be with them, or is it just because they're used to them?
Well, a lot of times it's because people don't complete their lessons, and that particular genetics holds the lessons that they need. You know, it's like a robin. If you think of a robin doesn't go into a pigeon body or it doesn't go into a parrot body. It stays into a robin body because it's in the energy stream out of the God mind in a robin frequency. But because we've all become kind of a Heinz 57, that's what has mixed and blended our energy streams. But you might not have come into, for instance, for myself, so let's just take me. We talked about the Celt, we talked about American Indian, and we talked about the Magdalene lineage. Okay, what was my original origin out of God mind? You see, and that's what people want to find out. What energy stream did you originally come in? Now, I know how to use each one of these genetic streams to my advantage. To the Illuminati, it's hiding my Magdalene frequency to mix in the American Indian and to mix in the Celt. So, but I have taken what they've given me as a downside, and I've made it into a positive for myself. If you did the same thing with a robin and you mix it, that's what they do with the animals. Say for dogs, they don't want you to have the pure frequency of specific animals because that is part of a recipe. We're kind of, you know, getting a little bit deeper here, but everything has a recipe. Same thing with the price of gold, for instance. Price of gold's high. People are taking, you know, all their broken gold out of their homes because gold holds a frequency. Who has a lot of gold? The Vatican City has a lot of gold. Pope has a lot of gold. Queen of England has a lot of gold. They know the value of the pure frequency, whether it's a purebred dog, whether it's a purebred person. You know, look what happened to Iceland. They have a very pure genetic lineage there. Most of us here in the United States, which is, of course, I know you have a global audience, but that's what we're really talking about for this moment. Most of us are Heinz 57. We're mixed up in our genetics, and so we don't have that pure frequency. The purer the frequencies are, the more value that we have, the more we can easily create a recipe to bring something from the non-physical into the physical or move something from the physical into the non-physical.
Extraordinary. I'd never, ever thought about it that way, that the more pure the bloodline, even in a dog,
yes,
the more pure the energy is that is coming through, the frequencies.
Yes, absolutely. And what's really interesting is even, like, for instance, organizations like PETA, you know, People for the Ethical Treatment Against, or Treatment for Animals, we bought a purebred Siberian Husky. The woman we bought them from was telling us that the PETA people go into the dog shows and they open up these dogs who have been very well treated and taken care of, and they let them loose to run across interstates and highways because they're saying, oh, these dogs are being mistreated, these purebreds, because who funds, the PETA, if you take a look at it, yes, a lot of the little guys give money, but it also comes from the top down. That's where the real money comes from. So people can't even have purebred animals, and the people who want to raise purebreds now actually have representatives in government to advocates for the dog breeders, because they're trying to legislate it so it's so expensive that they cannot raise purebred dogs anymore.
And I never realized that this might be an Illuminati plot to keep people from having a pure stream of energy. Now what, you know, say somebody has a purebred bred Cocker Spaniel. Mm-hmm. What does that mean that they're bringing into their home?
Well, for starters, I'm going to digress a bit more, or broaden it, I'm going to say. I'm going to broaden
okay.
the topic. What happens is when the Illuminati does their ritual, they bring in and they anchor pure energy streams in. So, for instance, think about how one time we had items in our home made out of wood. Now what do we have? We have pressed wood. We have plastic that looks like wood. We have veneers that look like wood. So we're not having the pure wood in our home anymore. With our clothes, those are synthetics. We now have pure wool. We don't have pure cotton. You know, so everything, and you think of its purest form, is changing. It's becoming, for lack of better words, more artificial. And what if people would get into the pure energy streams, be it a pet or an animal, be it the nature frequencies, you know, the more pure that you can bring it in, the pure genetics, all those are closer in purity to understanding, communicating with more clearly and effectively the Oversoul and the God mind itself. So when the Illuminati does their rituals, they will line up the pure frequencies. And if you read, Stuart has some, I think some close ones or more intricately described rituals in the Blue Blood book, where he talks about, for instance, the animal frequencies, how they use that in ritual, and so on. How they bring it in, they line it up, they create a ritual of energy streams, and that brings something from the non-physical or another reality into this reality. And if people would learn to create an energetic arc in their own home, then their life is going to flow better. They can learn to have the career. They can bring in, they can set a ritual to have the career that feeds their soul, the relationship that feeds their soul, the physical objects that feed their soul. So that's kind of it, broadening the topic a bit, but to get people into the idea of that we do not have these pure energy streams, and there's a purpose for having them, and there is a purpose for the Illuminati to dilute them however they can.
So in other words, the pure energy streams, we can almost say that is coming from the God mind, if it's a pure energy, whether it's wood or plant or animal or human. It is God made rather than Illuminati made.
Or it's a more direct route, because you have to remember everything comes from God mind itself, but what they're doing is they're diluting the route. And so instead of having a pure gold, now you might have something in your home that looks like that.
Right.
You see, so it's not, it, the more, the purer the energy stream, the more direct, clear route you have. It's easier for a robin to be a robin in a robin's body than a robin mixed with a pigeon mixed with a parrot. You see, so it's going to know more about the robin and what to do. It's going to know where to find its food, you know, when to build its nest, when to breed, how to bring in that best offspring, and so on. And the same thing with us as in this human body. Not that we're humans, but we're in a human body having a human experience.
Yeah, extraordinary. Well, I think what you're saying is something that, you know, many of us in the 60s tried to do, go back to nature.
Mm-hmm.
And throw out all the plastics, throw out anything that is not pure mm-hmm. or perfect.
Or more directly connected. You know, what they're doing is they're creating distractions for people. They're making it cheap. You know, the things, you get some really, really nice looking furniture that's really cheap, because it's not the pure frequency. And so that's what they want to divert your attention to. And the people that have the pure frequencies are the people with the power. They're with the knowledge, and they know what that pure frequency means. They know, like the feng shui, it's kind of that idea, although that's also diluted at this point in time. But the more you understand the shape of things, the color of things, the tone of things, then you can set your own personal arc, be it your body, be it your home, be it your workplace, be it your vehicle. You can set that to anchor in what you want and need to grow.
You know, we think about, the 20th century, and starting after the war, up until maybe right after the war, people lived many times in the same house, generation after generation after generation, with the same wooden furniture, with the same, wool or cotton rugs. And then after the war, it seemed that suddenly the corporations came in and they paid you $20,000 a year, which was in those days a lot of money. But you had to move. Say you lived in Missouri, they'd transfer you out to California. And so suddenly you and your wife and then all of your kids have no grounding in who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that when we came back, when our fathers came back from World War II and started into the careers, that part of the Illuminati plan was to break up the family.
Absolutely.
And to break up the family to keep you from having that grandfather in the house who could tell you the same stories over and over and over and over again, so that you would remember the Waldensian stories,
right.
Better than you did. And, I just want to encourage anybody who has grandparents that are still alive, go visit them, talk to them, try to find out as much as you possibly can about who you are. I was the youngest child in my family, and my father was in an accident that disabled him. And so during my high school years, I was home with my father while my mother was out working. And guess what? I'm the only one that got the stories.
Mm-hmm.
He was off working, never had a chance to transmit his lineage. Well, I got all the stories. And interestingly enough, like you, I come from one of these strange families that has a very strange history. And I haven't even begun to find out the history of my own, of that side of the family, my father's side of the family. Because it goes into secret societies that the Illuminati has branded as evil secret societies, such as Jesse James' Golden Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that that was an evil society. I believe it was branded that way because the Illuminati knew that Jesse James and the people that he was surrounding himself with were on the right track. They were from Missouri, too. It'd be interesting to find out if they were Waldensians.
Mm-hmm, would they?
Yeah. My mother's family were neighbors to the James, and then my father's father was Jesse James' best friend. And according to my mother, my grandfather was still driving over to Fresno, California, once or twice a month just to have lunch with his friend Jesse James, who was in his 90s when he died.
Wow.
Just as my grandfather was.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Now, it's interesting how history is changed so easily, because it's like, for instance, a lot of times people will say, well, why are you and Stuart allowed to tell your work? Well, you know what? They're already planning how to make our work obsolete. If you take a look at the Old English, people can't understand Old English. And if you take a look at what they're doing now, people, their text messages and how they spell things, sooner or later, people are not going to know what Y-O-U says, because it's going to be down to you, just
That's
the
right.
letter U. And so the things that we're writing today, you give us another generation or two, and this will be Old English. So, yes, let us write away, because later it'll be gone.
I made that, I used to just hate text messaging. I used to just hate people who would email me in text messaging.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I got a cell phone that has text messaging on, and I realize now you have to use text messaging in a new English form. But what we really need to do is we need to start writing that way.
Yeah, well, that will happen. That will be next.
And we will. I'm an English teacher, and I'm just a fanatic about perfect English grammar. And for me to realize exactly what you said, that the younger generation does not understand perfect English, and this is a plan. And so what we've got to do is we've got to translate our work into the new language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's the only way to keep it alive. Absolutely. But you can see just this kind of example as we're in transition. This is history making a transition right today. And
yes.
So think of all the other historical things that have been in transition. You're speaking about Jesse James and the things that are written versus what you know to be true.
That's
and you
correct.
See, once you learn to get into the pure frequency streams, you can investigate that for yourself, because every frequency has a color, it has a tone, and it has an archetype. And once you know how to interpret that, you can get your own information. So they cannot hide history from you. They cannot hide who you are from you. They can't hide anything from you. And then they lose their power.
And, you know, I tell people that the real reason the Catholic Church banned reincarnation is so a child wouldn't immediately be born and let the world know who killed them. And that's just, you know, a tiny example of it. But I'd like to get in, when we come back, to the hyperspace tones of creation. We're talking with Janet Swerdlow, and we're learning almost a new vocabulary here while we talk. This is Raelynn Allen of RumorMillNewsRadio.com. Brought to you on the Micro Effect Radio Network, and we will be right back.
Above.